with me right here at this time, I have Bill Bagshaw and I have Ashley Christensen, who's taking some notes. We will try to go ahead and post the notes up online as well as the recording, so that if there's any chairs that want to hear kind of the questions and answers and the information, or would like to review and revise, you know, just go back and listen to it, you can do that. We heard some comments from our calls, support calls for the systems, that they thought that would be a good idea because there was so much information and conversation taking place that it was hard to kind of keep up or take notes. So they would have liked to be able to go back, and I didn't record that first one, but we'll be recording these from now on. So I would like to start first by welcoming you all, of course, and then hopefully you will find these useful to you and that it will allow you to ask questions that you might have, and hopefully we can provide you with some solid answers to those questions. We will run these calls until the middle of April. We know that you might already have done your system review at that point in time, but we would hope that you would still come on the call, because after you have had a system review for that year, we would like to hear back from you in terms of how did it go, what happened, what were the pluses, the minuses, so that as we continue to review and revise the KISA process, we can take your feedback into consideration. So thank you. I would like to start off by just talking a little bit about the OVT workbook. At this point in time, you should, let me go back just a minute before I do that. I want to end up starting by saying, as chairs, you should be receiving from your system, and we told them that that this is something that they needed to do. You should be receiving a copy of the initial report, which would be all questions that have been answered from question 1 through about 15.1. That is the kind of the requirement right now in terms of what the systems need to complete. The rest of that question or that radio button of 15.2 through, I don't know, I think it's 15.12 or 13. Anyway, that is for the system to really jot down feedback and information that they might want to look at and process later, or let their board or other folks know about what happened at the visit. So you should be getting a report from questions 1 through 15.1, okay? That will hopefully give you some idea if you have not visited or had any conversation with your system beforehand. It should at least give you some information about where they're at, what they have been doing with the board goals, with the KISA rubric, and where they are in general, kind of that baseline information for this year, where they started in the system. It didn't matter whether or not they were year 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. Every system this year was to complete that KISA initial application. So, you know, if you have a district that says, I'm in year 3, so that was an initial application, they still needed to complete it. So I would ask that you just let them know that they need to go back and complete that. And we have been putting that information out, so I'm assuming that at this point they won't, you know, you won't encounter that, but just in case. Like I stated earlier, you should get a report, and you as a chair should get a copy of that, and so should your team members, so that you can at least have something as you go into the system if you have not, like I said, visited with that system and this is your first time. The OVT workbook is a workbook for the chairs. We have received information that some chairs, not a bad thing to do, have given it to the systems so that they can know what's going on. And from that end, it's really good. The system should not have any surprises as they're coming in, and that's why we have the OVT workbook out there. We will eventually take a look at maybe developing something similar, but that would be specific for the systems to review and to use for their process. We're looking at that now to see if that's a viable option. But the workbook is really for you as the chair. It's for you to take your notes, for you to use it in terms of as you're going in, if you're wondering what you need to ask, what kind of questions you should have. It's something for you just to use. I will let you know that although, you know, at the beginning we said it's not a requirement and it's kind of still not a requirement to complete every single one of those questions, what you do need to know is other than a yearly summary report, which Bill will talk about a little bit later, that notebook would be the initial application for those systems in year one through five will be the only thing that the ARC is going to be having to look at on a yearly basis of how systems are going. So if you think about this in terms of if you're a year two system, you're working with a year two system, you're going to complete a yearly summary, and then we're wanting that OBT workbook to be uploaded. The ARC has asked our Accreditation Review Council, that body that will be doing the recommendation to the State Board on accreditation of the system, has requested to see that workbook as part as evidence or artifact, if you will, to substantiate perhaps any information that they question in terms of that yearly report. And so to be able to help your district, the more information you have in that report, the better it is. And it doesn't, like I said, we have some questions in there, and we have some follow-up questions, and there's a lot of blank space. So feel free to just jot down notes and then upload that into the system. So having said and talked about upload, I just want to mention to you that as chairs, sometime towards the end of March, I'm hoping, at least we're hoping no later than that, every chair will have a secure logon to the system that they are working with in terms of the KESA application. The purpose for that is so that you can go in and complete those yearly summary reports and upload that OVT workbook. We are placing the OVT workbooks in the system, in the KESA application, and we're breaking them down by year so that the only thing that you're uploading is not a complete notebook with kind of nothing on it, but just the year's information that you're working on. And then you can upload it, and then you can keep a copy to continue on working with the system. And I'm going to stay quiet right now, and I'm going to ask if you have any questions about that. Remember to unmute your phone by dialing #6.
This is Lori Maxwell, and I'm trying to figure out how to print the report from the system, like the initial report.
For your system?
Yes, to provide to, I'm both a chair and a system, so I need to know how to provide a copy of ours to Burlington, and then I know Burlington would have to provide that to us as well. So other than printing each section, each page, is there one button that you could print to get the entire workbook or the entire report?
Yes, there should be towards the end of that section that says report, district report.
Oh, okay.
And that should give you an opportunity to print that report.
Okay. I see the report. Do you click on initial report?
Yes. And that opens up all of those the sections so that you're not only seeing it by number, it gives you a listing of the names down. And the last button on that is a report button.
I see the district, the building, completion year, submitted, and initial report. But when I click on the initial report, I don't get any. It doesn't come up.
This is Bill. This question came up about, I don't know, it's been about 2 weeks ago, and I wasn't sure how to do that myself, and I asked IT, and they had told me at that time how to do it, and I helped somebody on the phone. And it saves it and prints it as a PDF.
Okay.
And it had something to do with the browser. So honestly, on this issue, if you would send me just an email to remind me, BillBBagshaw@KSDE.org, that you need that.
Okay.
I'll put that information together and send it to you.
All right, that'd be great.
Hanging on that, because honestly, I just can't recall there was some sort of some browser issues related to that and printing that.
Okay, so he'll send it to you individually when you send that information to him,
right,
and then I'll make a point of sending it out
we'll
to the listeners.
Yeah, we'll get it out.
All right, thank you.
Good question, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other comments or questions of what I just mentioned? Did I confuse anybody or? Remember to unmute #6 if you have any questions. I'm going to pass it over to Bill to talk a little bit about those yearly summary reports. We just had a meeting with our Accreditation Advisory Council, and these summary reports have been topic of discussion for a while now here at KSDE. We have a KESA work group that have also looked at it, and yesterday, like I mentioned earlier, we gave it to the Accreditation Advisory Council to get some feedback. So we want to share with you what they are and their purpose.
The, ultimately, I think maybe it makes more sense to start this way. Ultimately, what we're trying to do is give you the best guidance we can about the types of evidence and how you're going to submit evidence so that the ARC will have that and being able to review that evidence to make a recommendation. And so that's the purpose of what we're doing and the variety of things that you will submit. With regard to the annual summary reports, in each of the first 4 years, year 1, 2, 3, and 4, we'll refer to those as an annual summary report. You will do a written report that summarizes that particular year, and you'll do that report in the spring following your visit. So when you go visit your system in the spring, at the conclusion of that visit, you'll write the report. The report is about approximately 5 questions. I think one of the years may have 6. They follow the workbook, and the report has prompts, if you will. So one of them, for example, will ask for detail, strategies, and evidence about accomplishments within goal number 1, and a similar question, goal number 2. And the prompts will ask you to be real specific and somewhat brief, listing the pieces of evidence. So you're describing what you saw and observed as a chair and as an OBT that year, and you're documenting the progress in a written form. Now, that will be in addition to other things that we'll have access to. You know, we have lots of compliance information, and we have report card information and demographic data. So this is just one piece. We've been using the description about this is to telling your story. Tell the story of the system. What are they doing? How are things going? And this is something you'll have each year. The fifth report would be the final executive summary, which just sums up the previous years. It addresses year five and how you wound up, but overall it's a more holistic description. We've had some really good discussion about how long those should be. Brevity is good, but we don't want you not to be able to give us the information. One of the things that we will be providing to chairs and updates and additional information as we move forward is a little bit of guidance as to how to write those insofar as what we want and what we want in there. So we know that you'll do well with that. We just want to provide you with good information. But again, it's just another piece of evidence. I might say also that this is not a report that we want to put just on the backs of the OVT chairs. And it suggests in the report in the prompts each year that you delegate some of the responsibility to the other members on your OVT team. For example, the chair may do the summary of the report. You may ask one member of your team to respond to accomplishments around the first goal. A second OVT member maybe to make some remarks about the second goal. And so the chair will take the information that's put together. You'll have a short meeting, whether you share it in a phone call or in person while you're still there, or share the information in an email format or something. But the OVT chair will put that together to finish that final report. There'll be more information, of course, coming out. We'll share those prompts with you. We think by the time that, let's see, the 21st of this month, we're meeting with the ARC, and that will be the last go-over of what we're asking for in those reports. And so very shortly after the 21st, we will be sending that out or making that available, however that works, that we'll either push it out to you or put it on the website, or however we're communicating with you at that time, we'll get that information to you so you can see exactly what that is. And those questions will also give you some good ideas about what you want to be looking for when you go on your visit, because you'll be anticipating filling out that report.
Hey, Bill, when we fill out that summary report, do we share that back with the district as well?
Yes, great question. Here's where that report will be. Our IT department is working really hard with us, and I don't have any doubt that they'll meet their deadline approximately the 1st of March. When we get the authenticated application completed, those summary reports will be in the menu. And as Jeanette mentioned earlier, we'll get you a login and password to access that. So when you see the menu, you'll see 1 through 15, which is all the system information, and you'll also see in that menu annual summary report year one, annual summary report year two, and so on, and you'll fill it out in there. And it'll be set up in a way that if you did your report in a Word document or were taking it from email, you can copy and paste it in there. And so it will reside in the authenticated application, and it'll all be be part of the record. So as the years go by, it'll always remain in there. And then everyone who has access to that report will be able to view it whenever you put it in there. So there'll be permissions granted. So the system will have permissions to input all their stuff. The chair will have a permission that says I can fill out the annual reports, but the system won't be able to edit them. They'll only be able to view them.
So a little bit more in terms of the question, not only will it be there so that the system can then read it, but if you're having a visit with your system, don't just have the visit and then leave. I would probably, it's one of two ways. Either you can give them a general overview of your visit of what your findings were at that point in time in terms of successes and areas for improvement, things like that, and let them know that that's going to be part of the report that you're going to be writing that they can find on their KISA application once you have completed it. Or you can do the report prior and then kind of read out of that report to the system if that's the way you choose. But it would be a good idea to always give the system some feedback before you leave so that they can know what they need to be working on and continue on working on. The exact words of the report, they'll see that when you upload or when you write that that document and you have it on the KISA application. Then you can print it and leave it to them, or they can just look at it and also print it and have a copy of it.
Now remember, a good idea when you're talking about the annual summary is you are colleagues of the system you're working for. We're not asking you to be in a judgmental situation here. You're just probing, questioning, observing, assuring that certain things are taking place. So it's totally appropriate once you put that report in there or once you share that feedback, as Jeanette said, with the system, if you need to make some modifications that are more accurate and more just in what was actually there, perhaps there's something that happened you didn't see, or perhaps, you know, whatever the detail is, it's totally, we just want you to get it right. We just want you to be able to talk about how that system is improving and what they're doing. So, you know, accuracy is what we're really looking there for.
And not only the accuracy, but I would go back with the systems in years 1, 2, and 3, which is where you're at right now. This is going to be kind of a historical piece that eventually that accreditation review council at the fifth year will be looking at and going back to read. So they're going to read that year 1, they're going to read that year 2, they're going to read that year 3, that year 4, and they should be able to capture kind of how the improvement has been going, how have the changes have been going, because they're going to use those reports eventually to make some type of determination with regard to the recommendation for accreditation for that system. So you want to be able to have information that's going to be useful to the ARC as well as the system in order to improve. As a critical friend, I think about, as a critical friend, it's great to hear all the good things, you know, because I want to be nice and I want to say, hey, you're doing all these kind of things. But as a critical friend as well, I would like to also hear what are those areas that you believe I need to improve on, or areas that I could improve on. You know, they could be doing really well. You don't have to be bad to improve. Remember that. An improvement, continuous improvement, is not about being bad. It's about continuous improving. And so what you're really doing is just getting better every time. And how do you do that? How do you add that little extra change in what you're doing and in the process in order to just get better?
Real quick question regarding if somebody's coming in at year 3 or even year 4. I know this is mostly years 1 through 3 on this call, but do you go back and have to answer some of those questions from year 1, year 2, or do you just jump in and start with year 3? Because I feel like there might be some background knowledge that would be missing if you just start with year 3. So those that are jumping in later, how would we handle that as a chair as far as the report?
Very, very good question, and we're not asking the chairs to go back and answer all the questions in that booklet from years 1, 2. If so, let's say you're a year 3 system, or you're chairing a year 3 system. What we ask of you is to be familiar with what are the requirements for those years, and just verify that those things are in place. So if you're a year 3. They should have done a needs assessment, so you're going to be asking about that needs assessment. What has been going on? What has taken place? You selected these goals. How did your needs assessment help you in terms of selecting those goals? So you're going to be asking questions on that, but we're not asking you to fill those other areas. We know that that's not possible. It could also be that as a year 3 system, I'm going to say a year 3 system, that maybe the needs assessment was something other than the rubrics that they used, and that's okay. But you should be able to capture what was it that they used and how did that needs assessment help them determine their areas of goals.
And Jeanette is right, and that's good advice. If I was a chair and I was going into, say, a year three system, and we're sitting down having a visit, I would probably actually take out the workbook and go through years one and two in a very brief way and just say, you know, you've done this, you have your compliance, you have your foundationals. Tell me just a little bit about how you did your needs assessment, just so that when you catch up to year three, you feel comfortable that you know the backstory of what happened to come up to that point. And so that's not filling it all out. That's not getting a lot of documentation. But as the chair, you certainly want to know that you feel assured that the system you're working with is indeed in year three. You may find out that there's some things that are remiss there, and you may have to have a conversation about, well, maybe you're year two or we need to do that, or you're good. So, again, you're just supporting them. You want to kind of fast forward through year one and two to get to year three so that you can start at that point. But Jeanette is correct. We're not asking you to go back and, you know, dot all the I's and cross all the T's in those first 2 years. But it is worth a little bit of conversation about how you've navigated those first 2 years' worth of information.
Can I ask a tangent question on that, please?
Sure.
Okay, one of the districts that I'm chair for is currently going in at year one. And as I'm looking through everything and all of the components that they have in place, I think that we are going to find out during this meeting that they really should be at year two, if not year three. How, from that end, should I approach that meeting, those conversations, and the questions that are asked at that time?
That's a great question. And what I would say is, with the reasons you believe that now, I would have that conversation with that system leader and to consider that. And if he or she agrees that they've operated with a little more rigor and they're down the road, then why not, you know? And then give them a little bit of time to talk to their leadership teams at the building or district level and get people on board and talk about how that is, because you don't want people to be out there and have 2.5 years worth of progress made and sit there in year one and then next year have them sit around and think, well, we don't have anything to do because it's not on the list for year two. Not that people would do that, but, you know, push it up to where they're comfortable, where that's where they are. And quite honestly, we've always said, you know, if you wanted to, you could pretty easily get through year one and two during that first year. If you look at that green sheet that's in the workbook that lists what we expect to happen in year one, two, three, four, five, it's on page 67 in the workbook. If you look at the things that are there listed in year one or two, it's not much of a stretch for people to have all that accomplished in year one.
Okay, perfect. You just supported the approach that I had hoped to take. So thank you very much for that answer.
Welcome. Thank you.
Other questions that you may have?
If I might, while there are no questions, I want to talk about the workbook and the chair completing that. Jeanette did a nice job earlier of talking about why we need that and how the ARC will use that. Insofar as how that would take place, I'm sitting here thinking if I was in your position as a chair, how I would do that. I would probably make arrangements, because I type with one finger, I would probably make arrangements ahead of time at that visit, as you're meeting with the leadership teams and you're on site, to ask the leader of that system, if his or her administrative assistant or somebody who types well, to download that fillable version of the workbook and record those conversations. And as you're going through those questions and going through that data, have somebody input that for you and have that. So therefore you have, again, as Jeanette said, you have a running record, and we've got some historical documentation of what transpired and what the conversations were and what evidence that you viewed. Because we're not asking to see all that here. We just want to know that you've seen it, you've covered those bases, and you have that. And then you always have that to fall back on, the minutes of your previous meetings and that evidence that you had. So that's just a, that's one way that you might do it. That's how I would do it.
What I would only caution if you use that approach is to be sure that you take a look at it and that you read that information, because we want to make sure that it's kind of your words in terms of what's happening and that it really reflects what you see in the process.
So you would modify it.
So,
right.
So you would end up taking a look at it and making sure if you're using somebody to capture your notes, that is the case. I'm really at this point not concerned as much with the accuracy of the counting of the notes on it. I know that the ARC eventually, when they want to take a look at it, it's going to be the fifth year that's going to be kind of that critical year for them. But more importantly for you is to make sure that you're looking at all the aspects of the system, that you're looking not only at the goals, that you're making sure that things are working and that they're in place for the system. Conversation about what's happening with the schools, where the schools are at, how the community is aware of what's going on. All of those pieces are conversations that take place. And, of course, depending upon what year it is, how in-depth you go with the goals and what they have selected and what the schools have selected will depend on the year that you are in the process, that system is in the process. But remember that you're there to ask the questions, probe, make them think about what needs to happen, and help them move forward in this KESA process.
I think we have a good group, Jeanette. They get it.
I want to give opportunities for questions. I know that wait time is kind of hard, and that maybe you're thinking about some things of you know what's happening. What I will ask, if you feel we have kind of given you the information that we wanted to share right now with you, every one of these meetings we'll try to start with some information about what's happening that will impact you. And so we're having these calls every 2 weeks. If anything is very critical that you need to be informed immediately, we have those emails and we'll send that out specifically to you so that you can get it. I do ask that if anything changes in your information, that you ask that the school system update it, and you let us know as well. They would update it on that KESA application, of course. So with our part of information being shared, I'm going to leave it open, and if you have questions, feel free to ask those questions. If you feel that you've had, that you're okay with what you have for now, before you sign off, if you don't mind one more time just indicating what system you're chairing and say you're signing off, that way I would know who's left on the call.
And lastly, both Jeanette and I are always available. We really appreciate you doing this work. It's good work. We hope that you learn something from it that can benefit your system as well. And please don't hesitate to call if you have questions or send us an email, because assuredly there are questions. And, you know, this is new, and Jeanette and I talk daily about a lot of these things, and there's always something for us to learn, or you've brought something to our attention that, we need to pay attention to as well. So don't ever hesitate to call or send us an email.
This is Antoinette from Pawnee Heights. I have one question. Is there any thought of making a listserv for KISA chairs if not all KISA chairs are on the curriculum or principals list?
Yes, actually, it's not. We have thought about that, and the problem right now is getting the accuracy of everyone's chairs. Like, for instance, we sent out this information about the call through kind of a beginning of a listserv for accuracy, and we got a lot of returned emails. So we're trying to update those before we actually do the listserv.
And that's a good point, too, that Jeanette makes. I ask people all the time when I talk to them to go into their initial report and check. Sometimes maybe we ask for the title, first name, last name, and somebody put the title and they didn't put a name in there. Or there's a typo. I recently got an email back from johndoe@gmail.org instead of org. And so there's some issues like that. So always, you know, always looking at that information so that as we're creating serves and in the email list that we have that accurate information.
So let me ask you a question about that listserv, because the question that comes up is, do we do a listserv that is just information going out, or do we do a listserv kind of similar to the curriculum leaders meeting where information is being shared back and forth? What would be your preference?
My preference would be to have a listserv where information is shared back and forth, simply because I'm in a school in Western Kansas and kind of in the middle of nowhere, and so any information I could get from anybody would be wonderful, but when I hear other people's questions, it brings up questions that I may not have thought of or helps me spark other questions to think about.
Okay, perfect. Perfect. We'll then do, because I think I agree with you, a listserv maybe similar to the curriculum leaders meeting where they're saying, hey, who's working on this or who needs this, and then the information goes back and forth, would be a good idea. It would be a good kind of PLC almost kind of piece, and we could almost use it that way.
Yeah, that would be wonderful, just because there's so many things even on the curriculum listserv that I see that sparks ideas or questions that I never thought of. So that would be awesome.
Okay. As soon as we have a list of listservs that is fairly accurate, we'll begin that process of creating that.
Thank you. I appreciate that very much.
Okay, McLeod is going to sign off.
Thank you.
I have a question.
Yes?
Mary Jean Grindel, my system is in year 3, and the visitation is going to be in mid-April. How soon before our actual date should I plan to meet up with the other visiting team members? And what should I share with them at that time?
For your system review?
For the system that I'm chairing, yes, year 3.
Well, we would hope that you have, we would expect maybe some calls with your visiting team prior to the visit. So if you know the date and you know who your team members are, I would probably say at least maybe 3 weeks prior to the visit. You might want to give them a call. And when we get this information out with the yearly reviews, because it's going to go to you as a chair, you might want to share that information with them maybe even divide responsibilities with them at that point in time and see what they feel comfortable with addressing. Because somebody might say, hey, I'll work on the issues of compliance and follow up on those questions. And somebody else might say, oh, I'll take the results area and pieces like that. So you can have that conversation so that you can know how that's going to be distributed, which means that those folks, the expectation would be that those folks throughout the conversation are asking questions to help them answer or write a report in that area, as well as, but not solely in that. They want to be listening not only for their area, but to then also provide support as everybody else is writing their pieces. Because sometimes people hear differently, or they see things that maybe somebody else didn't see. And so you want to be able to have that conversation with them, you know, during that visit. So meeting with them or having a conference call or Zoom meeting, whatever, 3 weeks prior to say, here's the report that we're going to do. Here are the sections I want you to kind of cover. And then maybe at that point in time, you have already received the report from the system that you're viewing, so you can have a discussion about that report, that KESA initial application as well.
And at that time, you should have an agenda, and so you can use your agenda to maybe delegate or have people contribute on your team in different parts of the agenda in a way that Jeanette just described. So you'll have your agenda too. The agenda could be done easily, I mean, it should be done easily by that time. So that's something to work from.
I would probably say that at least a month prior to the visit, you should be talking to whoever is that lead person in the system and have come up with what the day is going to be like. Sample agendas are in the booklet, on the workbook, and they are sample agendas, so it's not like you have to follow that exactly that way. But we would like to make sure that you're covering make sure you're trying to cover those aspects.
Yeah.
Does that help?
It helps a lot. Thank you.
Hi, Jeanette and Bill. This is Nicole Johnson, and I'm chairing for Neota Shea, and I have a question and some feedback. What we're kind of encountering is the window that is recommended for the visit is mid-March to mid-April. And because of the overlap with state assessments, that's creating challenges for systems and building level people to be involved with the visit. So I guess my question is, how flexible are you with us moving that visit around? And secondly, is there any thought to maybe altering when the recommended visits would occur to maybe help with schools that are trying to stay focused on the assessment time?
That's a good question right now. I think that this year we're going to look at hearing feedback of how this time frame works, and whether or not, how much consternation it caused for folks. I know that I received a call from another system, a person that's sharing another system, who said, you know, there is no way. I mean, they've been looking in order to get the visiting team there, at least a maximum number of visiting team members and the chair and the systems. They're really not able to have their visit until the first week of May. And so the question was, is that going to be okay? Otherwise, there's no visit happening. And said, well, a visit needs to occur. So a visit in May is better than no visit at all.
Yeah.
So, yes, it is. You can have some flexibility if you can't find that. But more importantly, we would also like to know what are the problems that people are facing. We're giving a timeline in hopes that, really, the major concern is for the systems in year five, when we reach year five, in order to get some accreditation recommendations to the board and stuff, we have to kind of backward map that to when that needs to happen.
Yeah. So in the first 4 years, when you meet, there's a lot of opportunity for flexibility there. There are two things, or primarily one thing. Certain things would have had to have occurred during the year. You wouldn't certainly have your meeting in January because you haven't, you know, had a chance to let the system work through that yearly process. And so as it's ongoing, that date, the reason we originally picked that date is it was late enough in the year we thought everybody would be down the road, so to speak, that they would have enough subject matter to cover and talk about that year. And I agree wholeheartedly with Jeanette. And year five is when it's significant because the ARC will be meeting in the latter part of April each year, middle to the latter part of April each year. And so if it's your fifth year, you want your stuff to go to the ARC probably in April. If it doesn't happen then, which isn't necessarily a foul, then it's going to be September before the ARC is going to review that. And again, this is one of those things that we have to figure out what works for the ARC and hear us at KSDE and also getting on the State Board of Ed agenda to accredit systems. So there's certainly, it's kind of a movable target right now, but I would say at least anticipate that in year five, you need to try to be finishing up early in April. But 4 years later, you probably can figure that out and be able to wrap that up by year five. So I don't see that as a problem right now.
Hey, that's great, and I appreciate it. We are going to go ahead and move forward with meeting in late February, but we're going in as a year one and feel comfortable that we should be okay. I'll maintain documents and then upload when you give me access. So I appreciate the flexibility, and we'll make it work. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
This is Caney Valley, and I'm hanging up.
Thank you.
This is Bosco in Stanton County, and I'm getting off as well.
Thank you.
This is the chair for Oakley, and I'll be leaving.
All righty. Thank you.
And Holton.
Cindy Couchman from Bueller, and I'm checking off.
Thank you, Bueller. Thank you, Holton.
This is the chair from Turner, and I'm signing off.
Thank you.
This is Antoinette Pony Heights, and I have one more question. I know the visit of the school that I'm a member on the committee for is coming up. I haven't heard anything from the chair. What my responsibility to contact them or their responsibility to contact me about what needs to take place?
You should be contacting your chair. So because you selected the chair, so you should make contact with them and talk to them.
No, I'm sorry. I am just part of an OVT team for another school district, not our school district.
Okay. Yeah. Well, the school should have informed your chair who the team members are, but I would verify with the school that they have done that.
Okay.
And if they have not, then I would just kind of remind the system that they need to do that. And if you know who the chair is, it would not hurt to maybe give them a call.
And generally speaking, we're asking that the chair facilitates all of these activities, making sure the annual summaries are done, making sure the workbook is filled out, making sure there's an agenda, making sure there's a visit. And we know that's a lot of responsibility, which is why we ask them to designate. But we're asking the chair to see that the chair facilitates all of these various activities.
This is John Payton with Little River. Antoinette, I think I'm the guy you're looking for, and I'll be in touch with you if you're serving at Chase.
I am. Thank you so very much. I was going to send an email. This works perfectly.
Yeah, so I'll get in touch with Glenna again and then get in touch.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, I'm signing off. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
This is Hilda Corby and Max Heinrich signing off.
Thank you. We have currently 5 minutes left on the call for any questions of those folks remaining that you might have.
This is Nicole.
Yes, Nicole.
Antoinette Root is signing off. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Krause signing off.
Thank you. This I want to thank anyone that is left on the call. Thank you for attending. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another call. It is 11 o'clock, and I am signing off.